Good afternoon, and thanks to all of you for being here today. I would like to acknowledge a few special people. First, President Emerita Hannah Gray and President Emeritus Hugo Sonnenschein, who are here. Joining them on the platform is the Chairman of the Board of Trustees, Andy Alper, Provost Tom Rosenbaum, Dean of the Law School, Mike Schill, and three very special guests, John David and Michael Levy, the sons of former President of the University, Edward Levy. So our very warm welcome, not only to John David and Michael, but to all the members of the Levy family who are here with us today. As I know that everybody here recognizes, universities are places of both continuity and change. Knowledge advances, fields of study find new directions, and education at every level evolves. Students, faculty, and staff arrive, and often they leave. Over time, the facilities that support all the learning and discovery that go on at the university are expanded, they're refreshed, and they're unified. As you can see in the quadrangles around you and in the new open-air pathway through the building behind me, all part of an effort not only to support our faculty and students, but to see a unity in our physical campus that reflects the unity of spirit that William Rainey Harper identified as a critical feature of the University of Chicago. What doesn't change are the university's core values: the free exchange of ideas, the belief in argument and rigorous inquiry, the belief that we can and must ask the hardest and most challenging questions, the willingness to take ambitious new approaches in pursuit of those answers, and a relentless commitment to an intellectual focus in all of our educational and research work. Edward Levy grew up steeped in these values. He was a grandson of one of the University of Chicago's founding faculty members, Rabbi and Professor Emil Hirsch. Edward graduated from the laboratory schools, then the college, then the law school. He served as dean of the law school and acting dean of the college. He was the university's first provost, beginning in 1962, helping to define that most critical position. He served as the university's eighth president from 1968 to 1975, when, as you know, he was called to Washington by then President Gerald Ford to be the Attorney General of the United States. Throughout his time at the university, Edward Levy both embodied and reinforced those values that continue to guide us to this day. He articulated them for a new generation of students and scholars, and in doing so, he helped shape the university we know today. He measured every action he took against those values and led others to set the same high bar for their work. These values always guided his actions through times of great challenge and great complexity. In the proceedings of the American Philosophical Society in 2002, Hannah Gray beautifully captured Edward's relationship to the University of Chicago. At that time, Hannah wrote, and now I'm quoting, "The University of Chicago was Edward Levy's academic home, his spiritual home, and his model of academic purpose and integrity. It was not as though he thought it perfect in all respects. His standards were too high, and his own skepticism too powerful ever to believe that it was all it should be. And he knew that complacency could only carry mediocrity in its wake. But he never stopped believing in what it should be, and never ceased to think that his was the one university that best incorporated the possibilities that universities should strive to embody. He was fiercely devoted to his university, single-mindedly intent on enlarging its reach and its quality, intensely committed to the causes of free inquiry and the rule of reason." So those were Hannah's, as usual, eloquent remarks from 2002. So today, and we are gathered here to honor a great leader, and this university's core values by naming this building behind us as Edward H. Levy Hall. And as we rededicate this space, it is our hope that every one of us who works in this building, that all who come here in service of the University of Chicago and what it stands for, and that for all who pass through, are inspired by Edward Levy's unfailing dedication to the University of Chicago, and that every day we make his high standards our own.
In a way, the university that we enjoy today, the university that is still esteemed as one of the great universities of the world, I mean, you could argue that we were reinvented. We became that university again in the 1960s because of what Levy did.
As student, professor, dean, provost, and president, Edward Levy saw the university in a way that no one else has.
For Edward, standards and maintaining standards was an enormously high value. Standards must be maintained.
He was the first to articulate this idea of the college not simply as, you know, like one unit among many, but rather that the project of undergraduate education is the responsibility of the whole university, and the opportunity to teach college students as being an opportunity for all faculty across the university.
Edward understood completely the possibilities of this university, the way it could bring talent to bear on important problems for the day, but also, of course, for the ages.
People felt that here is a man who actually knows us, actually has the kind of broader understanding of the university's DNA. One of the things that Edward Levy was able to do was not simply provide a rationale for, well, let's build this building, let's build that building, but rather to see this as a kind of an ensemble. I think the most important structure that was built was Regenstein. Regenstein is not only a big building physically, but it's a big building symbolically and a big building emotionally.
Levy was someone not only to be admired, but to be emulated. And I came to see him as a role model and a personal hero whose example has helped to guide my entire professional life. And he was in many ways a perfect choice to become Attorney General of the United States.
What I hope to see is that every person who walks into this building, now named for Edward Levy, they are reminded that every action they take has to reflect that legacy that Edward left us, a legacy in which standards must be maintained.
Edward Levy inhabits my life in the way that few people do. Now, you might ask, what am I talking about? I never met Edward Levy. How could I ever say something like that? You see, I feel I know Edward Levy, or at least know some aspects of Edward Levy in my role as dean of the law school. I also know him from growing up as a teenager during the Watergate era. As Attorney General, Edward, if I might call him that, led us all to have restored faith in our government and the rule of law. I know Edward Levy through his writings. As a student in law school, I marveled at the erudition of his work on legal reasoning. As a faculty member, and now as the dean of the law school, I continue to learn from his scholarship and from the speeches and papers so lovingly cataloged and edited by Jack Fuller. And I know Edward Levy because a day doesn't go by when I'm not reminded by an alumnus, a faculty member, or a friend that I am merely the current occupant of the dean's office at the law school. Edward Levy is the owner of that office. When I was first contacted by Eric Posner and Jeff Stone about whether I'd be interested in the deanship of the University of Chicago Law School, I called a friend of mine, a former student of Edward's and a dean at Stanford Law School, Larry Kramer. Larry told me that if I came to Chicago, I should do nothing less than achieve and create a new paradigm shift in legal education. In short, he said, I should achieve what his mentor, Edward Levy, achieved for the law school. Of course, no pressure there. And when I arrived here 4 years ago, I have to say that I have felt Edward's presence in the building every day. Now, there's no need to worry about my sanity, not his physical presence, but the expectations of my colleagues and our alumni that I will live up to the legacy of this great man. It is often said that Edward Levy was the University of Chicago, a product of our schooling from preschool all the way through his JD. One would imagine that his focus on the world of ideas and his extraordinary dedication to scholarship was a natural product of this incredible institution. But his dedication to intellectual inquiry was so complete, his passion for inspiring the same dedication in others so long-lasting, that it presents what looks like a classic chicken and egg problem. Is Edward Levy synonymous with intellectual inquisitiveness because he is the product of the University of Chicago? Or does the University of Chicago enjoy a reputation as the home of extraordinary ideas because of Edward Levy? After all, this is a man who took it upon himself while still a relatively young scholar to publish an article in the University of Chicago Law Review purporting to explain the entire field of legal reasoning. And he succeeded. The greatest intellectual tool in all of legal scholarship over the past 75 years, law and economics, was pioneered by Edward when, in his first few years on the faculty, he joined forces with economists across the Midway to teach trade regulation. And his course in legal reasoning, philosophy, and jurisprudence, the course he created in 1937, Elements of Law, is still taught at the law school to all first-year students during their first quarter at the law school, and has been copied by virtually every law school in the country. This spirit of intellectual inquiry inspired generations of students, and in no small part, wherever Edward went, he came back to the law school and came back to teaching Elements of the Law. I've had the privilege over the past 4 years of speaking with many of our alumni, hearing stories about Edward in the Elements class. Indeed, one of Edward's former students, Jerry Katzen, a product also of the college and the law school, has never forgotten his experiences in that class. At the age of 95, he still says that Edward Levy was the greatest influence of his life. Indeed, just a couple months ago, Jerry gave the law school a $1 million gift to endow a program for creating an increased interaction between judges and the law school community. Rather than name the program after himself, he chose instead to name it the Edward H. Levy Distinguished Jurist Program in honor of the man who was his most profound influence. Now, beyond his role in creating the field of law and economics and the core introduction to legal methods, Edward also essentially invented clinical legal education. And as dean, Edward took his personal pursuit of interdisciplinary education and made it a movement, bringing statisticians, sociologists to the law school, founding the venerable Journal of Law and Economics, spearheading the landmark inquiry known as the Chicago Jury Project. But perhaps most of all, is Edward's integrity, intellectual integrity and personal integrity that inhabits our school today. While there are dozens of examples of this most treasured character trait from his service at the university, the country and the world came to know Edward Levy through his service as Attorney General of the United States. As this audience knows very well, Gerald Ford asked Edward Levy to take on the job of Attorney General after the resignation of Richard Nixon and the fracturing of our faith in government and the rule of law. Two of his predecessors were ultimately convicted of crimes related to Nixon's misdeeds. Americans needed to be able to trust in their public servants again. And two short years on the job, Edward's work was at the forefront of restoring trust in government. Edward Leavy's first order of business on his first day as Attorney General was to deal with the crises of the FBI and CIA involving potentially unconstitutional domestic surveillance. Reform of those two agencies is one of his greatest legacies. At a time of national strife, Edward lived by the age-old adage that sunshine is the best disinfectant. He made public volumes of documents that were secret, regularly testifying before Congress, and held everyone responsible from top to bottom. He also let the people see what he was doing, let them understand that the rule of law would not be subverted under his watch. And in the best Chicago tradition, he taught us. He taught Americans through his speeches that he gave and that are collected in Jack's book. He explains the importance there of the rule of law, of civil liberties, of the separation of powers, of federalism, in words that were once incredibly literate, eloquent, but also importantly accessible to members of the FBI and to the public. And for this, we will always be grateful. In closing, it is an honor for me, a true honor, to occupy Edward Leavy's office. And it is a real privilege for me today to see this building that houses the president's office, named for one of the greatest university presidents in American history. Thank you.
Okay, we're actually now going to unveil a sign. So can't have a building naming without a sign.
President Zimmer, Chairman Alper, distinguished members of the Board of Trustees, members of the faculty, administration, students, and friends of this great university, on behalf of the entire Leavy family, thank you so much for this tremendous honor and recognition of our father's service to the university. My father, as many of you know, was a humble man. And I can just see him standing somewhere over here with my mother at his side, he with a look of bemusement, wondering what the heck we're all doing here and whether we have collectively lost our minds. Bow-tied and bespectacled, he would probably look at us with a smile and ask us whether we really didn't have something better to do. But actually, he would have been enormously touched. And to his family, this dedication seems altogether fitting. After all, Dad grew up not far from here in Hyde Park, and but for a very few years spent outside of Chicago, largely in government service, he spent 90% of his life in the one square mile of Hyde Park, Kenwood. And of course, he was absolutely devoted to the university that was his intellectual and professional home from his earliest years to his very last. I know that through the years, many university folks and Hyde Parkers would say that the administration building was not at the top of their list as one of the university's many magnificent buildings. But as far as our family is concerned, the board's choice of the administration building is the perfect place to recognize Dad. It was, after all, here in 1969 that he and a group of courageous and dedicated administrators, faculty, and trustees so skillfully defended this great university from the protests of that turbulent time in our country. And as Dad keenly observed in 1968, quote, every university worthy of the name at one time or another over the years has had to resist attempts to control its teaching or inquiry, but a university used as a political instrument from without or within, to that extent has simply ceased to exist. We should deny that power to ourselves and to others, even as we welcome and underscore the concerns of political action as a personal duty of the educated citizen," unquote. And continuing that theme, in a speech he gave to the university's entering class of 1971, he insisted that, quote, "We must resist the well-intentioned demands that are made upon us, which would make us just another social or governmental agency. We must acknowledge that there are doubters, possibly some among you, and all of us at times are afflicted with these same doubts concerning the life of reason and the life of action in these troubled times. Universities have often existed in troubled times, and often including in this half century, when faith in reason has been lost. But the faith of a university and its inner integrity are never more important than in such periods of doubt," unquote. To name this central building for Dad, with its new portal and walkway unifying the campus, you not only honor him, but you honor all of those who stood with him in defending the idea of this great university for future generations. He loved the University of Chicago to his very core, and nowhere was that more evident than what turned out to be his final talk to the university community, one that he gave at the convocation opening the university's centennial celebration in the fall of 1991. Quote, "When the University of Chicago, this great and new university, had its opening on October 1, 1892, with a chapel service and first classes, it was, as we are told, as though the university had been conducted for 1,000 years. That would just about take us back to the founding of the University of Bologna. At the time of the first convocation, on January 1, 1893, Harper said, quote, "We have met this evening together with our friends as members of the university to celebrate for the first time a day which we may confidently believe even 1,000 years hence will be celebrated in the same spirit, though in a different form," unquote. Dad concluded, "But let us say the continuity. Indeed, the thought of continuity is very important. For through this university, we have joined hands with many generations, many great scholars, many leaders, many friends, and we are grateful. Today, as you name this building for Dad, we join hands again in celebrating the enduring idea and the future of this very special place, the University of Chicago. And as a family, we are so grateful. Thank you."
So since the university's earliest founding days, we have benefited from inspired academic leadership, from engaged and ambitious trustees, from supportive civic leaders in the city of Chicago, and from a wide variety of generous, loyal alumni, donors, and friends. Out of this primordial soup has emerged the university today, a preeminent intellectual destination. So I ask all of you on behalf of my fellow engaged and ambitious trustees to join me in raising a glass in recognition of inspired leadership represented here today by Hannah Gray and Hugo Sonnenschein and, of course, Bob Zimmer, in honor of the legacy of Edward Levy, an inspired leader locally and nationally, and in celebration of a very, very bright future of the University of Chicago. Cheers.